On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 89, you're going to hear from a previous Acoustic Tuesday artist who took out some time to answer our questions. You're going to get the scoop behind a blues artist's beginnings, and yes, Tone Talk is back for round number 3, which means you're going to get your questions answered. All that and more right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 89. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to run down my guitar geek list for the week, and I got to tell you, this week, this episode is chocked full. In fact, you're going to get the scoop on, we'll just say my beginnings. There may be some incriminating photographs that you're going to see later, but we'll get to those. First, I want to dive right in on my first item of the week, and that is a set of earplugs. Now, I want to refrain from referring to these as earplugs because they're really more ear filters. Now, I've referred to and reviewed earplugs here before on Acoustic Tuesday. In fact, you may have been familiar with the Eargasm earplugs, which I think work outstandingly. But these ones that I'm going to show you are a little bit different. These are called Loops earplugs. And I'm going to show you what the box looks like here. Like so. And like so. Now, these particular earplugs are in an odd shape. They have this circle to them. And when I first received them, I thought, how on earth do these fit in my ears? Now, it took me a second to get the fit right, but luckily for the user, they come with all these different kind of ear tips. And they have silicone ones, foam ones, and of different sizes, so you can really adjust them to fit to your ear canal. But what really blew me away about these earplugs is the fact that they retain very high fidelity, meaning that, you know, usually when you put in earplugs, it kind of muffles the sound. And that's okay because you're protecting your hearing, but it's a real bummer if you're attending a concert because you just don't hear the clarity. You don't hear with the clarity that you normally would. These really solve that. In fact, the way they're designed, this circular part, these are 3D printed, as a matter of fact, and the circular part is an acoustic resonance chamber, which acts kind of like your ear canal does when it's not obstructed. And what it does is it allows the clarity to come through, but it drops the level. In fact, there's this cool diagram where it shows kind of the sound wave's path, where it enters this little circular chamber, and then it goes through the rest of the earplug, through the filtering system, and then actually effectively drops in volume. Now, I know you might be thinking, you know, as acoustic guitar aficionados, as acoustic music lovers, we don't really need earplugs, do we? Well, I beg to differ, because I think if you've ever been to a show and you thought to yourself, wow, this is a little loud, chances are it's probably too loud. And hearing is one of those things that we want to preserve as music lovers, as guitar players, and I think these do a wonderful job of being discreet and allowing you to actually hear the concert without muffling it. So I want to recommend these. They're about $30, and you might be wondering, okay, well, what does $30 actually get me? I found a wonderful unboxing video that actually shows what's included when you buy a set of Loops earplugs, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. So let's have a look. Now, as I mentioned before, it took me a second to get used to the way that these particular earplugs or ear filters fit. I wasn't quite sure how to put them in, but after some time, after some convincing, I actually found them to be very comfortable, and I tried them out in a number of ways. The first way I tried them was I put my headphones on. Well, I put the earplugs in, and then I put my headphones on, and then I cranked some tunes on my computer. And I was like, wow, this is pretty incredible because I could still actually hear with clarity. And then I just used them to walk the dogs around town. Now, I know this sounds really odd, but I wanted to see what impact they would have on my general hearing, just as kind of walking around, living life at a lesser volume, if you will. You can coin that phrase. It's okay. but I wanted to see if I could still hear with them, but again, of course, at a lesser volume. And I thought they handled the situation particularly well. So I would recommend these. They're not for everybody, but I would recommend just hearing protection in general. These, again, I think do a wonderful job of dropping the volume, but retaining the clarity. If you can kind of get over that circular look, I think you'll find that it's actually a huge advantage because it does allow the music to come through in full-on fidelity. So again, those are Loops earplugs. They're made, they're designed in Belgium, made in the Netherlands. And I think they come in an array of colors as well. If you find yourself looking for a particular match to an outfit, you can get yourself a different color. So make sure to check those out. As with everything I mentioned on Acoustic Tuesday, you can visit the show notes at acousticlife.tv/AT89. You'll get clickable links there. You can check out their website and, of course, purchase them if you are moved to do so. Now, moving on down the line, here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Which guitarist was chosen for the guitar playing close-ups in the movie August Rush? Was it A, Kaki King, B, Andy McKee, C, Muriel Anderson, or D, Preston Reed? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, I do want to move into things arrived in the mailbag today, and I cannot wait to share them with you all. But of course, who got the mail? Who's running the show? Who's clicking the buttons? Who's turning up the volume? Who's moving the microphones? None other than Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr., the first, the man with the mighty stash. Noah, how are you doing this morning?
Tony, I'm doing fantastic. It is coming in more nicely, isn't it?
It is. It's filling out. It's feeling less like you're trying and more like you've arrived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Like, there was an awkward phase, like, you know, Bambi trying to walk, the equivalent of that in a mustache. But you're, yeah. I think you're here. I think you're there.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That was a great analogy.
It was a feeble-legged mustache.
Noah starting a mustache is like Bambi learning to walk. It's a great analogy.
But you're really coming into your own.
Thank you.
No, I want to ask how your weekend was. I want to ask if you experienced any small wins.
Well, first of all, let me just say that I consider life a huge win.
Well, good.
Many wins occurred. Whenever I get a run in, a date in with the wife, some hang time with the kids, and I watched a pretty encouraging Brené Brown Netflix thing on courage, the whole weekend was a win. It was great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And you?
I feel like I've been living small wins for weeks at a time now. And I feel like I feel like we owe it to our Acoustic Tuesday viewers to kind of catch them up on some small wins we've experienced.
That's
because
true.
We kept forgetting this one.
And it was a huge one.
It was amazing. So I guess 3 weeks ago now, we went to a local venue called The Filling Station, and we saw this band, Joseph.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. Probably a future Acoustic Tuesday artist. I can't believe they haven't been featured yet, but we were there. I think it was a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
It was attended well, but it was to the point to where we could work our way up front a little bit. And Noah even peeked his head in the green room and said, "Hey, ladies, you guys are awesome. Thanks for being in Bozeman."
Yep, I had to.
It was a great night. It was a great show. So we did a hockey episode. And it got my mind, it got the gears cranking. They were slow to start, but the gears started cranking after a while. And I dug through some old photos, and I found some wonderful hockey photos. So first you're going to see, I wanted to share these with you because I referenced them back in Acoustic Tuesday, I believe it was episode 86, the hockey bourbon guitar infusion episode. I said that I had the full rundown of all the Ed Belfour street hockey pads. So you'll see a wonderful picture of me trying to be Ed Belfour.
Okay, and wait, hold on. What, you got to tell me which one this is.
I think it's labeled one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's me in the street.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad used to shoot pucks at me in the street, and I'd get so mad when he scored on me. Like, I'd want to, like, push him off his rollerblades, basically. That's how it went. And I think I may have one or two times. It's amazing. He kept shooting after that because I would get so mad. It would be, like, 100 degrees, you know, humid, and I would just be getting so mad. Anyways, the next picture you'll see is another roller hockey picture.
I was going to say you'd get mad and huff off to the teepee.
And
then...
And this next picture, you're going to see the introduction of me with some longer hair. This is, I'm thinking this is around 7th or 8th grade, playing roller hockey again and just, you know, being an angsty kind of preteen, really competitive. And then the final picture is my senior year. I did a split season of high school hockey and junior hockey in Minnesota. I played for Mankato West, and you'll see me in my frosted hair. Those were the frosted hair days.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty much considered myself a trendsetter. And last but certainly not least, just to bring you all up to speed, Noah was so kind to come out to one of my hockey games, one of my last hockey games here in town, because the season is now over, and he captured some footage. So let's look at this goalie in action. Which brings us to right this very second. I think you may have noticed. If you haven't noticed, let me just move the beard aside. I just found myself an Acoustic Life hockey jersey. I actually spent some time, actually many a nights, some bourbon-fueled nights, designing this very jersey. Now, I think we have some pictures. You can't see the back because, of course, I'm facing you, but the front has the Acoustic Life logo, and the number is 28. D28, it's kind of what I was going after. And then the back says Guitar Geek, and then of course has the number nice and large. And I was so excited. I ordered this jersey some time ago and it finally came in. My only regret, Noah,
okay,
is that it's a Philadelphia Flyers jersey. And as a rabid Chicago Blackhawks fan, I find myself like dying inside just a little bit because I know that it's based on the Flyers.
In what way?
Well, just the colors, you know. I like the Chicago Blackhawks, and putting on another team's jersey feels borderline wrong.
Well,
but
you got to think of it as, you know, the Acoustic Life All-Star Hockey Team is going to have its own colors.
Correct.
And they just happen to be similar to the Flyers.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. I like your viewpoint on that. So these might be coming out soon. I don't know. It really is going to depend on Acoustic Tuesday viewers' interest. So if you're interested in maybe becoming a part of the Acoustic Life All-Star Hockey Team, please leave a comment below. Put hashtag Acoustic Life Hockey and let us know if these were available for, say, purchase, if you'd be interested in donning one of these.
Oh, because, man, this would take Guitar Signals to a whole nother level.
Let me tell you, Noah, I just imagine walking down the street and seeing somebody sporting one of these, and literally like crossing the street to just go and say hi and shake their hand. Because you know they're full-blown guitar geek if you're sporting a hockey jersey.
Mm.
Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Should we move forward?
Please.
No, I want to get to the mailbag because there's some juicy items in here. But first, I do want you all to know that Acoustic Tuesday is brought to you by Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Tony's Acoustic Challenge is an acoustic guitar program like you have never seen before. If you love the Acoustic Tuesday show, I know that you would be a perfect fit for Tony's Acoustic Challenge, especially if you want to experience progress every single day and have fun while doing so. The same amount or more fun than we do here on Acoustic Tuesday. So to find out more about Tony's Acoustic Challenge, please visit tonysacousticchallenge.com and don't hesitate to request your invite today. I'd absolutely love to have you in the program. I almost said Hezequest.
I thought you were going to say Hezekiah.
It was a request. I wanted you to request your invite, but I didn't want you to hesitate, so we'll just combine them. Hezequest. Don't Hezequest to request your invite today. Anyways, let's move on to the mailbag. Wow. There's some dandy stuff in here. First of all, I mentioned Brian Kimsey back on, I believe it was episode 86 or maybe even 85, and he so kindly sent a beautiful Kimsey Luthery shirt. In fact, we won't be here. I was going to say we won't be hearing from Brian again, but that's false. We will be hearing from Brian again. In fact, I'm going to dedicate a piece of the show to Brian Kimsey, one of the upcoming Acoustic Tuesday shows. But I want to thank Brian very publicly for sending the shirt and sticker, which has found its way onto my computer already. I don't know where my computer is. It's somewhere around here. Next up, wonderful package arrived from Robin Joel. He sent Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible. The 2019 Whiskey Bible. Nice. He sent the Bourbon Bible, whoa, which I'm pretty sure you won't be interested in, so I'll go ahead and read that, Noah. And
you won't even read that.
He sent a wonderful copy of his album, Copper Viper. Now, I was looking at this album, and I was super pumped because he obviously plays guitar and sings on this, but also some of the other players on here. I saw Orville Johnson made an appearance on this, and that's pretty awesome. He's a guitar hero of mine. Now, Robin went on to say this: Dear Tony, Noah, and Levi, love the show. I'm currently 7 episodes behind due to a tour I've just returned from. It's okay, you can catch up. Hope you like the goodies inside. They're pretty self-evident who they're for. Yeah, so I'll leave this whiskey Bible to you, Noah.
Thank you.
I'll take the bourbon one. He included a couple of quotes here. I like beautiful melodies telling me terrible things. And that's a Tom Waits quote, which I really, really like. And he also included a you know you're a guitar geek when. He says, you know you're a guitar geek when you get told off by your wife for catching another few minutes of Acoustic Tuesday whenever she leaves the room. which I think is awesome. He says, keep it up, boys. Oh, and congrats on getting married this year, Tony. Thank you very much, Robin. We appreciate you sending the note, the kind gifts, and just taking the time to put something in the mailbag for us. Next up, we've got a wonderful letter from Z Wynn, who's a Tony's Acoustic Challenge member and Acoustic Tuesday viewer. He says, first, I love TAC. I'm a lifer. Was blown away to be on your Year in Review member video in January. Yes, I shared a video of my daughter singing Ed Sheeran Perfect. Also, couldn't play fingerstyle until Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Hashtag small win. Thank you for saying that, Z. We appreciate that. Second, he's sending 2 picks for the wall enclosed in this bag. He says, one, from Casino Guitars, I ordered a Sheeran by Loudon, W03 Cedar/Santos Rosewood, from them because we are like brothers from another mother. Baxter, the owner, has a wife named Taylor. I have 7 Taylors, 3 of them customs. Pretty sure he said he named his son Loudon. The second pick is from Tobias Music. Paul and I became friends from a Taylor Guitar Facebook group. I bought a GS Mini Koa. He put Goto Minis on it for me. Hashtag, you know you're a guitar geek when. Now, it's funny because Tobias Music, I believe, is in Illinois. And I want to say that I ran into Paul at some point years ago. So this is kind of a full circle guitar geek moment. He's also putting in a request here, Noah. He says, I'm requesting a feature on Sheeran by Loudon, especially since you're lusting for one. It's a cool collab. They are made in Ireland for roughly $1,000. Incredible. Thanks for the inspiration. Keep it up. Fellow guitar geek, Z Wynn. So I want to thank Z for sending this in. It's pretty awesome. Do you remember that video he sent with his daughter singing Perfect? It was so darn cute. Now, the next item in the mailbag just arrived on my desk when I came in today. Now, you may have remembered that we talked about cereal with some passion in a past episode.
Yep.
And Noah believes in this Malto Meals S'mores cereal so much, he actually brought me a bag. He brought me the Malto Meal S'mores.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and I, as kind of a dork, the dork that I am, I started to read the packaging. And there's a warning on this package. I don't know if you're aware of this. I can't believe you feed this to your children and you eat it yourself. He says, warning. The contents of this package are delicious and easy on your wallet. And check this out. They go on to offer up a taste guarantee. You love it or it's free. Put your taste buds to the test. We're sure you will love this product. But if you're not completely satisfied, we'll refund or replace your purchase.
Yeah.
I mean, they believe.
And I have to say, no returns here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put it to the test. I cannot wait to dig in. We have a run coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
And I think after the run, I might pour myself a bowl of the s'mores cereal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I was a little bummed out. There's no character on the cover of this, or on the front of this.
Doesn't need one.
I wanted Cockatiel Eddie.
Yeah. With the fruity scoops?
Yeah, with the fruit scoops. Come on, kids. Eat your fruit scoops. 9 essential vitamins and nutrients. Should we keep going or should we just end it now?
Yeah, please end it now.
Well, I'm glad you asked who I'm listening to this week, Noah. I appreciate you prompting me along there. Who am I listening to this week? This week, actually, I want to go back in time a little bit. About a year ago, roughly a year ago, almost to the exact date, I was witness to a wonderful show here in Bozeman at the Rialto. It was a Saturday matinee show, and Guy Davis was playing. And I had never really heard Guy Davis before, but on the marquee it said that he was a blues musician, so I was like, I'm in. What else am I doing on a Saturday afternoon? So me and my buddy Ross went to the show, and I was completely blown away. Guy Davis is an incredible showman. He is a blues musician, but he's not just that. I would consider him more of a Renaissance man because he's a great guitar player. He's a writer. He is an actor. He does pretty much all of the things. And he put on one of the most engaging, captivating shows I've ever been to. From the minute he started to the minute he ended, he had the whole crowd just latched around his finger. So just to give you a little bit of the background on his story, let's listen to him, of course, telling the background of his story, but also playing the song As Long As You Get It Done. So let's have a listen right now.
When I got into the blues, there was nobody in my family who directly related to it. Their lives had come up out of it, but my family was progressive and forward-thinking, and they were into the civil rights movement and the things that had to do with making progress. It does turn out, though, that my grandfather used to play a harmonica, I am told. Never heard him do a note. And his brothers used to play instruments, and I imagine there was some sort of a string band. This is all stuff I was told. I remember playing a record by Taj Mahal one day and asking my grandmother to listen. It was Taj doing the track lining song. What I hate about lining track, these old boards about to break on my back. Well, when the record was over, my grandmother sang back several verses that weren't on the record that she learned as the wife of a track liner. So my grandmother and her mate, my granddad, who I really didn't get to know, were people who came up out of the blues, but no, this was not what was really going on in our home. And so when I played the blues for my folks, they didn't know where it came from, where I, you know, why I was doing it. My grandmother was pleased, but she was a church-going lady, so she wasn't particularly into the bawdy kind of stuff that I would play. So, there is no simple answer to the question, you know, where was my family in relationship to this blues that I was learning and allowing to evolve inside of me.
I want you to know that Guy Davis is not just an awesome guitar player and singer. He's also funnier than hell and an amazing harmonica player. So I had to squeeze in another musical selection here. So this is Guy playing at Jorma Kalkinen's Fur Peace Ranch, which is kind of an acoustic guitar camp. And this is him playing the tune Did You See My Baby? Now, when he played this at the Rialto, I about fell out of my chair laughing because of his just animated facial expressions, but also the amazing harmonica playing paired with this really, really funny song. So without further ado, this is Guy playing Did You See My Baby?
Did you see my baby go? Did you see my honey go? Did you see my mama go? Did you see my sweetie go? Baby went, honey went, mama went, sweetie went, baby went.
Like to think that having that kind of lung capacity would help you become a long distance runner. So I'm thinking, Noah, I might take up the harmonica just to expand what my lungs are capable of.
Okay.
Is that fair, you think?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I'd say give it a shot.
I actually have funny story
you
about.
Never know. I couldn't help but wonder if Guy and Eric Bibb know each other.
They do. Great connection. So I'm on Guy Davis's website, and I'm looking at different links and things like that, and it says some of Guy's favorite musicians. Guess who's first on the list?
Eric Bibb.
Of course.
Nice.
Because they're amazing. What was I going to say? Oh, I have a funny harmonica story. So back in college, I got into John Lennon's solo stuff, and there was a couple harmonica tracks on there. I was like, I really want to get into harmonica. I want to be the cool kid in college with a harmonica in his pocket, right? So I sure was. I ordered a 3-pack of harmonicas from Musician's Friend. They came in. They were cheaper harmonicas, and I would have them, and I would start practicing in the like little lounge area. This is at community college, by the way, and this is when I found out I had a really strong nickel allergy. So check this out. So after about a day of being the cool kid, I was the kid with the ballooned lips, the itchy ballooned lips, because the nickel was causing this reaction. So that's my story. I was cool and then not cool real quick in like a 2-day span.
I would be willing to say that you were not cool and then not cooler.
But I was the kid that everybody's like, oh, don't talk to him. He's clearly diseased or something like that.
Yeah, and he keeps harmonicas in his pocket. Yeah. Who does that?
The funny thing was, I remember it feeling weird and like stingy on my mouth.
And you thought that was normal.
And I was like, what is happening? The next morning I woke up, I remember the look my mom gave me. She was just kind of like, what the hell is wrong with you? Anyways,
that's a good story.
Bottom line, I want you to listen to Guy Davis. And just to give you a jump start, I picked 4 albums for you to check out. The first is Sonny and Brownie's Last Train, that was released in 2017. Next up, The Kokomo Kid, released in 2015. Side note there, Ben Jaffe of Honey Honey is actually playing guitar on that album as well. Juba Dance, released in 2013, which you need to check out for the album cover alone. It's a Gibson SJ with feet, which is pretty awesome. And then Call Down the Thunder, released in 1996. This is one of Guy's earlier albums, and I think it's the one I was listening to right before we recorded today's episode, and I have to say that it just has all the vibe and mojo, so I really strongly recommend that one. So make sure to check those out, and of course, to learn more, visit acousticlife.tv/AT89. Again, you'll get all the show notes and links to things that I talk about, so if you want to buy some of those albums, you can get access to those links right there at acousticlife.tv/AT89. Noah,
yes.
It says here on my list that you need to talk about Small Wins, so shall we?
We shall. All right. Love it. Small Wins. Always a pleasure to share Small Wins of Acoustic Tuesday viewers. And the first one comes from Scott H., who says, just ordered my first set of Santa Cruz parabolic low-tension strings. Can't wait to see how they sound on my Martin GPC PA5. Great show, guys.
Nice. Thanks for watching. Congrats on the new strings.
Next Small Win comes from Chad J., who says, yesterday, after being away from me for about 2 weeks, I got to pick up my 1968 Martin D18 from the shop after a new setup and a repair job on the pickguard. I didn't want to replace the pick guard to keep it all original, but it was beginning to crack the top, so my luthier recommended I replace it. It's as beautiful as ever, plays like a dream now, and I just can't get enough of it. Incidentally, I've named my D18 Hiram, after my sister-in-law's grandfather, who was the original owner. I think that would be, I guess it could be either Hiram or Hiram. Hiram sounds.
I would go with Hiram. That's where I'm leaning towards.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a small win.
Awesome. That's a great small win.
And then I'll just throw out there, I didn't actually take any of these down because there was quite a few. Some commenters considered it a small win that you managed to blend together acoustic guitar, hockey, and bourbon all in one show. So that definitely was a small win for some people out there.
Well, I mean, it's playoff time, so I'm just like, we do a daily gratitude practice, and so we filmed the show on a Monday, and I just came roaring in from the weekend, and I was like, I'm grateful for playoff hockey. There's nothing like it. It's just the most amazing time for any hockey fan. That's all.
Could you give me an analogy of what that would be like for someone like me?
It's kind of like finally reading the last book of Game of Thrones when everybody else at the studio just wants to talk about Game of Thrones but can't because you're still stuck on book four.
I see. And I see what you did there. I see what you did there. That was a good jab.
Was it good?
It was a good jab, but I don't think it conveyed the feeling that you feel during NHL playoffs.
Yeah, probably. I just wanted to work that in.
Yeah, well, you did.
Well, it's really hard because I just want to do Game of Thrones gossip. I want to discuss theories. I want to discuss hints and things that are left in the episodes, and I can't.
Well, I can talk about some of them
from like years ago. I'm done. I've already forgotten all that stuff. I'm on season 8.
Well, I'm trying.
Okay. Well, you know what? I kudos to you for slogging through the books because I think you'll probably know more detail and context, and I won't. But
well, thank you for acknowledging that. So when I am done, though, we'll just be able to bring them both together and create a bigger, beautiful picture.
Fair. I love that's really positive, Noah.
All right.
You're really winning the positivity today. Lots of points.
And there's our small wins, Tony.
Well, thank you, Noah. Appreciate you sharing those. Of course, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I want to celebrate small wins, please do so. They're so incredibly supportive to your guitar journey. We all need positivity. We all need positive momentum throughout our guitar journey. And small wins are just a small glimpse into all the positive things that happen. So please share your small win with us. Put hashtag small win in the comments and go ahead and describe your small win. Maybe you changed strings for the first time, ordered a new set of strings, got a new guitar from the repairman, saw an awesome show. Maybe you're reading the Game of Thrones books and you're just stuck on reading them and not watching the show. Hey, if that's a small win for you, please put it in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm not stuck.
two jabs, same topic.
I'm reading.
Pew, pew. Sorry, it's all in good fun. I'm sorry. Should we keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move along. So this
really
next item. What's
sorry,
that?
I'm really excited about this next one.
Me too. Because, you know, we've been it's funny because this segment that I'm about to introduce, we initially were like, yeah, we'll call it like 3 and 3. And that'll be cool. It's like 3 questions in kind of like 3 minutes. And then we the more we looked at that title, we couldn't figure out anything else. And we're like, 3 and 3? What the hell does that even mean? And then somebody in the comments put hashtag ask the artist. And it's just fitting that one of the far smarter Acoustic Tuesday viewers comes up with just a beautiful segment name. So I'd like to introduce to you the new segment, Ask the Artist. And this week, we have Michael Watts answering some of our Acoustic Tuesday questions. And now, for those of you who may not know, Michael Watts was featured back on Acoustic Tuesday episode number 81. A gem of a human being. He talks about guitars with a wide-ranging vocabulary. He plays guitars just magically, and he just is just a treat to listen to. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you again Michael Watts, and he was so kind to take time out to answer our questions. Here's Michael.
Hello everybody, it's Michael Watts here, and it gives me great pleasure to join you for Acoustic Tuesday. First of all, I should say, Tony, Noah, 200,000 subs. That is a wonderful milestone. Congratulations, guys. I'm very proud of you. You'd sent through some Guitar Geek questions, so here we go. The first was to name an artist that I think everybody should know about, and in that case, it would be my dear friend Oren Blodau. Oren's based in New York, and he plays in a band called Elysian Fields. He plays electric and acoustic guitar, but his acoustic guitar playing in particular is just delicious, so go check him out. Second question was my favourite guitar. Well, that's a very simple question to answer. It's this. It's the MDW model by Jason Costell, based out in Phoenix, Arizona, and it is my signature model. It is a miniature 12-fret fingerstyle dreadnought, basically, and that makes sense to me. Finally, you had asked which piece of gear transformed my life. That would have to be this, which is a Microtech Gefell M300 small capsule condenser mic. I normally use these in pairs. There's another one over there. What can I say about these other than to say that I haven't used another microphone seriously for about 10 years. So, once again, congratulations, guys, and it's been a joy to feature on the program and spend time with you. So this is Michael Watts saying cheers and Guitar Geeks unite.
We, of course, want to thank Michael for participating in our Ask the Artist segment, and I'm thinking this is probably not the last time we're going to hear from Michael. What are your thoughts, Noah?
I definitely do not think that this is the last time that we are going to hear from Michael Watts.
He's kind of turning into a bit of an acoustic guitar geek correspondent of sorts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll see. I mean, if you want to hear more from Michael, maybe just in the comments below, put, yeah, more Michael, please.
Hashtag.
Or something along those lines.
Hashtag more Michael.
Love it. Well, of course, Ask the Artist was brought to you by LaCroix. My favorite flavor is coconut. And remember, these fine carbonated waters are naturally essenced. No guilt, zero calories, zero sweeteners, zero sodium equals innocent. I'm just kidding. We are not sponsored by LaCroix. I just happen to love drinking them. But I just thought it'd be funny to try and put that in there.
Yeah, well, I branched out a little bit. And as I noted last week, I've been trying the La Kirkland brand of sparkling water.
It's like it's like the city runoff creek right next to the LaCroix like river. Somebody's out there with like a mason jar bottling it up. Well, we want to know what you think of the show so far, so please please leave a comment. Let us know that you're watching. You could say hi to your fellow guitar geeks. Just let us know where you're tuning in from. That's the most important part, because the whole point of Acoustic Tuesday is to unite guitar geeks every single Tuesday. And it is so cool to see how far and wide the guitar geeks that are watching Acoustic Tuesday come from. So please leave a comment. And as you're leaving that comment, if you have not subscribed to the Acoustic Tuesday, if you have not subscribed to the Acoustic Life YouTube channel, please do so. It's super easy. Hit that red subscribe button, and then don't forget to click that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification of each and every new video that gets posted, so you don't miss out on any of the guitar geeky goodness. Now, Noah.
Yes.
Tell me, is it time to give a voice to the Acoustic Tuesday viewers? You got some comments to share?
It is that time, and I do have comments to share. As well as a couple, you know, your guitar geek wins.
Fantastic.
And I myself was inspired by a, you know, your guitar geek win.
I cannot wait.
But that's coming up.
I cannot wait for that. This is good.
So comments first. First one actually comes from Sean DeBurka. And he was gracious to hop in and make a comment. And he says, another awesome episode. He says, we got dogs. Khal Drogo playing the game of tones at a Coulter Wall gig. And serious...
I just had a thought. Keep going. Sorry.
And serious goosebumps for Phoebe Bridgers' song. And then he says, call me crazy, but I'd love to hear a high-speed punk rock cover of her song Funeral.
Mm.
He says, grateful for the shout-out also about Antoine's album artwork. To go full circle, he says, I actually discovered Acoustic Tuesday because of Antoine when he was featured in episode 25. And Adrian Belew's new album arrived here today. As you mentioned, Antoine recorded it, and I got to do the artwork.
That is so rad.
Yes, that's
just a great full circle moment.
Yeah. So you were inspired.
Yeah, I thought, you know, since we called out Jason Momoa to come host an Acoustic Tuesday show,
yeah,
we could have a segment called The Game of Tones. And it could be like a blindfold guitar test, you know what I mean? Like, welcome to the Game of Tones. Mm. And he could speak in Dothraki. None of us would know what the hell he was saying.
No.
This is where my brain goes sometimes.
That's it.
And I just wanted to give you all some insight. You might be scared. You might be curious. But either way, this is full transparency.
Maybe I should finish the books first, and then we can talk about a Game of Tones segment.
Okay.
Our next...
It would be a big chair, like an iron... It'd be the Iron Throne, but it'd be like guitar neck sticking out. Game of Tones. Ooh. Yeah? Copyright. Ooh. Don't anybody take that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, the folks at home and abroad should know that us having this little Game of Thrones thing with between the reading and the watching and kind of stuff, it's been going on all morning.
Yes.
It started almost first thing.
True.
Anyways, next comment comes from Pamela D. And she says, thanks so much for Acoustic Tuesday. Very cool. Tony and Noah, you guys make me crack up a lot. And she says, Noah, this is wonderful that you adopted a cute dog. I had the same kind of dog, and his name was Beamer. Tony, I love all the artists that you show in the Acoustic Tuesday show. Thank you for that. I love Seagull guitars. I think they're very beautiful. I'm really looking forward to Preston Thompson's guitar. I love that Honey Sunburst, and what a sound. Very beautiful. Thank you. See you in the next episode.
All right. Thanks for watching. Appreciate the comment.
Got one here from Joseph A., who just says, tuning in from Singapore, because, of course, we're super huge in Singapore. As always, a great show and so informative. Loving it.
Awesome. Thanks for watching. You know, it always amazes me at the kind of varying locations that people tune in from.
Yeah.
It's really wild to me.
It can be surprising.
Like, I mean, Acoustic Tuesday is becoming a phenomenon.
You don't expect it.
No. And I think all the viewers, I mean, we owe a huge thanks to all the viewers because you all help Acoustic Tuesday be the phenomenon that it is. So we just, just take a second and thank you. We appreciate it.
You think it's confusing for people across the international dateline? I mean, it's not technically Acoustic Tuesday for them.
Well,
is it like Acoustic Thursday of next week?
I don't know. It's kind of like we're little like minor time travelers.
Yes. So next comment comes from David S.
The Acoustic Time Travelers, huh? Band name.
That's good. Yeah. Acoustic Time Travelers. Next comes from David S. He says, interesting to highlight the crossover and complementary relationship between hockey and guitar playing. On that note, playing a musical instrument also helps your brain from aging prematurely, as it activates a range of receptors across its various areas. The same is true of learning another language. As a guitar geek, someone who's also learning Chinese, my brain should be in a great state in another 35 years' time. Unless the bourbon drinking evens things out. Ha ha ha.
I wonder if... I can't wait to share that with Whitney. She's going to be pumped because I'm going to be like, hey, honey, I'm going to be young forever.
Mm.
She'll be like, great.
Yeah.
Oh, for the record, for those of you keeping tabs on the battle of plant hangers, guitar hanger / plant hangers, she's currently winning because the hanging plants are still on the guitar hangers in the kitchen.
I thought you took them off that one time, though.
Yeah, that one time.
See, I think the issue, she's going to have the upper hand because you're always going to be taking them down to play them and stuff.
True.
Whereas plants can just stay there and she can water them while they're there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Thanks. You're really helping my cause, Noah. Appreciate
our
it.
Our next and last comment, Tony, comes from David P., who says, a big thank you to Tony for the segment on string gauge.
Oh,
that
cool.
Actually went over, we were talking, like it went over really well.
Oh, great. I'm glad.
It was a great topic. Many comments about that as well. But David continues. He says, I've been playing and studying guitar for a very long time, and most of what Tony said about string gauge, I had never heard before. That's pretty rare. As a finger styler, I had really never given any thought to medium strings. But thanks to this show, I realize that I have one guitar tuned to open C, where the low E is tuned down for semitones, and I have been struggling with buzz. Actually, I describe it more as string rattle against the frets, but now I'm inspired to try medium gauge on that guitar. Mm. Also, I had never considered scale length in my string gauge decision, and now I can make some more intelligent string choices. Thanks again, Tony. Acoustic Tuesday is a treasure.
Awesome. Thanks so much for watching. I'm glad you dug that segment, too.
So there's our comments, Tony.
Well, thank you for sharing those, Noah. I appreciate that. Now, I'm excited. Well, I know what you're about to get to.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Tone Talk episode.
Yeah.
Or segment. Segment within this Acoustic Tuesday episode. Because, there's some cool videos and stuff that I'm going to share. So I'm just excited. That's all. I just wanted to share my excitement. I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't want to interrupt, away your thunder.
I can, you didn't.
Or lightning.
You didn't. got a couple, you know your guitar geek wins. And the first one comes from Timothy M. He says, you know your guitar geek when you're feeling a little chilly in your house, you think you should put your guitar down and go in the other room to check the thermostat. But then you remember that you have a D'Addario humiditrack in your case, which is open since you are playing that guitar, and that device tells you the temperature on your phone. So you switch from the metronome app to the humiditrack app to check the temperature in the room and discover it's a few degrees too cold. Well, still not wanting to stop practicing, you instead immediately on the spot create a song about the temperature, then call your daughter in and perform it for her, hoping she gets the hint, which she does, and promptly fixes the situation. She then sings a few songs with her dear old dad. Great times were had by all.
That's incredible. These are all fantastic little points that folks are making. I think there's many of guitarists as guitarists, we are creative. And I think one of the things that spurs on creativity is maybe mild cases of laziness. Like I saw this wonderful video of Sierra Hall using her washing machine as a metronome. And I thought, that's classic guitar geeky stuff.
I don't think that's lazy.
Well, okay, inventiveness.
Creativeness.
Creativity. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm lazy.
He didn't want to stop. Well, we're not talking about you.
fair.
But, you know, Tim here, he just didn't want to stop playing. He was so into playing.
Right.
He didn't want to go and change the thermostat.
Okay.
So he came up with a very creative, guitar geeky way to get the thermostat adjusted.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sorry if I overextended my own laziness.
You were projecting.
To the guitar geek greater good.
Yeah, you were projecting.
I didn't mean to project.
Okay.
But bottom line, I'm pretty lazy.
So I got one more from AT Viewer, and then I have my own inspired, your guitar geek.
I'm pumped for this one.
So Danny says, you know your guitar geek when you go to the Loudon factory and the girl at reception recognizes your name from the fan page and says, it's like meeting a celebrity. And then he says, I'm both ashamed and delighted in equal measure. And Tony, buy a Loudon.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Actually, Brendan and I have been emailing a little bit.
Good.
My upcoming Vegas trip.
That's good. okay. And then the last, you know, your guitar geek, Gwen, I was inspired. So, you know, Tony, I like to do some gym interval training stuff. And several weeks ago, I must have just been so into it. I seriously misjudged my box jump.
That's one way to look at it.
And my toes ended up slipping off the edge of the box, and my shins kind of took the brunt of that. So, you know, I had some scrapage, you know, and some scabbage that happened that had to heal up. Well, here's my, you know, your guitar geek when.
Wow.
You know you're a guitar geek when you look at your healing shin scab and it reminds you of Tyler Childers' new album cover, Purgatory.
I was thinking about this.
Yes.
And I thought, man, that is very guitar geeky. And then I thought, wow, if Tyler Childers catches wind of this show and he sees that his album cover is being compared to a scab. How is that actually going to feel?
I haven't shown it yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I should.
Maybe just briefly.
Okay. All right. I'll do it real quick.
Okay.
I'll show the scab pic, and then I'll show Tyler's cover, which is in no way a intended as a diss to Tyler. Tyler is awesome and amazing, and I love this album. Here we go. And there you go.
Do you see the resemblance?
I was pretty... Anyway, so you know you're a guitar geek when that happens.
Well, should we recover from that or just keep going down the hole?
Yeah, well, the folks at home are probably just still laughing.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, so hard.
Or just trying to hold down the their lunch.
You know what?
Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
We would love for you to share the show. Please share the Acoustic Tuesday show with your guitar geek friends. The whole point of Acoustic Tuesday, as I mentioned before, is to get guitar geeks to unite every single Tuesday. Celebrate the gear, celebrate the artists, live your best darn acoustic life. And we just want you to share this. We want Acoustic Tuesday to continue to be a phenomenon. So please share the show with your friends. Send them to acousticlife.tv. Send them your favorite episode via YouTube link. Share it on Facebook, however you do it. Messenger, Pigeon, Smoke Signals, whatever works for you, please share the show. Noah, you know what? One of the funny things, before we get into Tone Talk, I do love LaCroix, and this is not, I promise, this is not a product placement. It's one of the hardest drinks to drink while you're supposed to be talking. Because the bubbles, they get you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of like, and they catch you at weird moments.
Okay.
So, I just want to say that in case I have any of those weird moments.
Oh, and the people will understand.
Yeah. And of course, Tone Talk's brought to you by LaCroix. Just kidding. Let's move on to Tone Talk.
Yeah.
What is Tone Talk? Tone Talk is where we take your questions left in the comments below, and I go ahead and answer them in a minute or less. We've selected 5 questions from those that have been left in the comments, and Noah is going to set the timer, and I'm going to do my best to deal with all these questions.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
Is it time? Or are we just jumping right in?
Well, let's just jump right in. And at the end, of course, well, I should say this. At the end, rather than me show a full picture of my guitar arsenal, I actually pick out one guitar and tell you a story about it. And this guitar that I'm going to show you today has got a ton of stories, video evidence stories. Okay, let's dive into the question.
Okay, Tony, here we go. First up, question comes from Pirate Mon Wayne. Tony, do you truly get a tonal difference in your guitar for doing something as simple as switching out the plastic bridge pins for either bone or tusk?
I would say absolutely yes. And just based on the hardness level of the materials, if you take a plastic bridge pin and drop it on a wooden table, and then take a bone bridge pin and drop it on a wooden table, you can actually hear the difference in the materials. Think of plastic or any softer materials as absorptive. They absorb vibration, whereas bone or harder materials like that actually conduct vibration, therefore increasing the resonance of your instrument. So even a small change like that, I believe you really will notice a difference.
Next up comes from David D. Greetings from Dana Point. Tone Talk question. I have a vintage Martin from before they were braced for steel strings. Do you have a string recommendation? I'm thinking custom extra light silk and steel, but would appreciate some guidance. Thanks for the fun and the information.
Absolutely. This is a fantastic question because those earlier Martins that were braced for gut strings or even just vintage guitars in general, like I have a 1935 Single 017 and the top is incredibly thin and very light. It flexes readily. So I always choose a lighter gauge steel string. However, since yours is built for gut strings, I would say silk and steel, extra light, you're definitely on the right track. It's all about tension here. We want to minimize the tension on the top because we don't want to have anything bad happen to it. So just short of getting like a vintage reproduction kind of gut string, I would say silk and steel is a very good avenue to go down. However, just make sure to make it extra light tension. Like I'm talking the lightest that's available because we don't want to see anything bad happen to a vintage guitar.
All right. Next comes up from C. Noel. Says, what's up, Tony Polcastro? Hey, man, I know you did a maintenance cleaning episode, but I can't recall if you had mentioned anything about oiling the tuner pegs. Now, not that there's any probs with mine other than preventative. any recommendations out there about specific brands of lube? And then he asks this additional question, why can't or shouldn't I just use like a 3-in-1 or fishing rear gear oil? He says, keep up the good vibes.
Great question. And this is one that I'm going to approach with a little bit of hesitance because I have never oiled any of my tuners. Now, I'm assuming you're referring to like an open gear tuner, like a vintage style, like a Grover or even a Waverly tuning machine. I steer clear from oiling those tuners just because I don't want the oil to have any reactivity with the finish. Any sort of oil that has a silicone in it or something like that can actually prevent finish adhering. Hopefully I'm saying this right. Meaning that if you ever go to refinish or touch-up finish, the silicone actually creates a barrier and the new finish that you're trying to apply doesn't actually adhere. So it can cause some issues down the road. However, I would recommend checking out StuMac's website, Stuart McDonald, a Luthier Supply Company. And there's a series done by Dan Erlewine where I believe he uses 3-in-1 to free up an older tuner that was really stuck. But check that out, and I would definitely consult with a luthier before you do anything on that realm. One of the reasons I don't use it or lube up my tuning machines is just because I don't want to cause any damage. So definitely check with the StuMac, particularly that Dan Erlewine series, and also you can check out frets.com, which is a site operated by Frank Ford of Griffin Strings. There's some wonderful information on that as well on his site. So. Couple different resources for you. I'm just a little bit uncomfortable answering that because I just kind of err on the side of safety.
Next one comes from Sin M. Starts off by saying, Noah, I hate to contradict you, but as a retired career dog geek, humans were the first species domesticated by dogs.
Ah.
And he says, more on that if you want. And hey, I read it in a book. You know, from a guy who knows things. But that does sound very interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised. So he says, first he asked Tony, what is that reel behind you? My father had a huge reel-to-reel collection of music, some of which is in my storage awaiting transfer to digital. So how about answer that one first?
Yeah, so those actually both came from my father's house. My father. That sounded so dismal. My mom and dad recently moved to northern Wisconsin. They were getting rid of a bunch of stuff, and that was in the get rid of pile. And I said, no, we're not getting rid of those. I'll take those. So one of them is an Akai. I don't know the model on that. The other one's a TIAC. The larger one's a TIAC. And they just kind of sat back there. I have a bunch of tapes that I need to go through and also digitize. But yeah, that's what's behind me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When my dad visited here, he had like the similar reaction.
Oh, really?
You know, I think my dad's like 65 or something like that. And so he kind of like glanced at him and he was like, huh. And my dad's like an engineer. And so he saw it and was like, man, back in the day, that would have been like the primo. Like if you had one of them, but I don't remember what model it was.
Here's the funny thing, though. I think I get my gear lust directly from my dad because he like made no stop. Like he would go and put stuff on layaway at the local music store and like all his checks would just go to the music store. Mm-hmm. I think it was just mac and cheese and peanut butter and jelly for him for a long time. He could verify that.
Layaway.
Dad will talk.
I remember layaway. Kinda, only because I was waiting for some stuff too, like my husky size jeans or something.
We had that talk the other day.
Yeah,
like your parents would take you school shopping.
Yeah,
and you'd visit the husky section, and just inside you died a little bit. You're like, cool.
A size.
Yeah, I don't even know what to. These are just husky bugle boys.
Yeah.
Acid washed, weird sweatpants like jeans.
Well, you had your frosted. Tips,
yeah, that was a real big fashion.
So
statement.
Tony, so yeah. Sin continues and says, also, can you please talk about guitars that have necks? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Cindy. It must be short for Cindy. My
or
apology.
Cynthia.
Yeah, or Cynthia. My apologies if I was been saying he, she. Also, can you please talk about guitars with necks suited for those of us with tiny hands?
Mm.
I'm coming back to guitar after a 40-year layoff. and the dreadnought neck is just simply too huge for my hands. Okay, I'm old and have some issues with pinky rebellion, but it does seem to be too big, for my fret hand. Even with my tack breaks because of health, I never miss an Acoustic Tuesday.
Well, first of all, thank you for watching. We certainly appreciate it. And in terms of neck width, I think there's two dimensions that we really need to be concerned with here. The first is probably the most talked about, and that is nut width. You're looking at kind of standard nut width, 1 11/16, something a little bit larger, maybe 1 3/4, or maybe even a little bit larger, 1 5/8. But let's just stick with 1 11/16. That's the smaller nut width that will be more comfortable in terms of string spread. Now, one of the parts that I think needs to be talked about more, one of the dimensions, is neck profile. Let me just reference some common profiles in terms of something you might be familiar with. So if you look at, say, a Taylor neck profile, it's much slimmer, meaning the actual thickness, the distance between the surface of the fretboard and the back of the neck is much slimmer than, say, a Martin Vintage profile, which is much thicker. So those two dimensions really work together. And I would say if you're looking for something that's a little bit more easy to handle, like say a smaller hand, I reference the GS Mini a lot, but you're looking at a little bit slimmer nut width and more importantly, a slimmer neck profile, which will allow a smaller hand to get around it. Now that doesn't mean that full-size guitars full-size guitars still have slimmer profiles and slimmer nut widths. In fact, one of the guitars I think that sticks out in my eyes is a Gibson Hummingbird. Much smaller nut width. I think it's just shy of 1 11/16, even though that's what it says on the spec site, specifications website. I think it's even just a little bit slimmer than that, and the actual thickness of the neck, the profile, is slimmer as well. So whenever you read specs, think like modern or slim taper neck profile. That's going to be something that you might want to gravitate towards, especially if you have smaller hands or issues with your fretting hand. It might be a little bit more comfortable for you.
And last one, Tony, comes from Stephen B., who starts out by typing in hashtag ask the beard.
Oh.
And he says, yeah, I started a new one. And
once again, what? Just like with ask the artist. Remember we had, 3x3 and nobody really knew what the hell it was?
Yes.
And it turned into ask the artist?
Yes.
This might, ask the beard's a pretty good one.
I concur. I'm on board. And Steven asks, he says, what is your opinion on the difference between a UV-cured polyurethane finish has-on tone versus lacquer?
Great question here. This is, so just to kind of reiterate the question, so you got two base finish types, two different finish types. You've got a nitrocellulose lacquer and a UV-cured polyurethane finish. Now, one of the things in terms of tone that I've personally noticed is that UV-cured finishes, while incredibly durable, I'm talking very tough, seem to be a little bit constricting, meaning you don't get a sense of resonance with the instrument. Now, I'm not saying it completely chokes it out, because that's not true. I just feel like it limits the resonant qualities of the instrument to a degree. And I'm talking minutia here. Whereas like a nitrocellulose lacquer, we're talking organic finish, I feel like eventually becomes one with the wood. Instead of it being a shell, it kind of, in a way, merges with the wood and offers much more resonance. Now, I think it's also of note here to mention the fact that the two finishes themselves are very different. The UV-cured poly finish is very tough. It's a very strong finish. You're not going to see that finish have any checking, those little tiny cracks that occur. But in that same vein, the UV-cured poly finish is a little bit harder to work with in terms from a repair perspective. Whereas the nitro finish, the lacquer finish, is a little bit more fragile. It's subject to lacquer checking because it's organic. It actually continues to be malleable over time. The older it gets, the more brittle it gets. But again, it's I think it's better for tone, in my opinion. And there's of course differing opinions out there. But also in terms of the repair end of things, it's much more easy to work with because it never truly settles, meaning that you can kind of spot fill lacquer and it will melt together again and almost create a seamless repair. So just a couple of different angles to look at those finishes. I think they're both wonderful finish. I think they're both wonderful finishes. I think they both have been used for years and years and have offered great results. My preference is always on the nitrocellulose lacquer end of things, though.
That was the last one, Tony.
Well, thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. And of course, I appreciate you all taking the time to ask your questions. If you have a question for a future Tone Talk or Ask the Beard, please go ahead and leave those in the comments. Put hashtag Tone Talk or hashtag Ask the Beard. We'll go ahead and collect all of those questions and then pick five or so to answer in a future segment of Tone Talk or Ask the Beard. You can vote on that too. I guess the more hashtags that come up for either Tone Talk or Ask the Beard, that's what we'll actually title it. Does that seem fair, Noah?
Sure.
That's a good way to judge interest.
Yeah, I think I know what it's going to be, but okay, why not?
Well, I want to wrap up this segment of Tone Talk with a Guitar Signal feature. Quick note, we don't have any Guitar Signals to share today. And it's actually been quite a few episodes where the Guitar Signal well has run dry.
Yep.
And I didn't see a drought coming in the forecast, but I know that we have one eager dog that's just jonesing for some Guitar Signals. Fletch has been waiting in front of his guitars. As you can see, he's getting tired. But we would love, I want to encourage you to submit your Guitar Signal if you have not done so yet. Or maybe you got more guitars and you want to submit a Guitar Signal update. That's totally fine too. It's super easy to do. Get yourself a Guitar Signal shirt. There's a link right beneath this YouTube episode. Put that Guitar Signal shirt on. Take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And then last but certainly not least, please submit your Guitar Signal picture at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu. Click on that. You can upload your picture and then, of course, describe it. Since we don't have any Guitar Signals, and since it's the end of a Tone Talk episode, I want to share with you all a guitar that is part of my Guitar Signal. And this is a Beard Guitars out of Hagerstown. Oh, they told me how to pronounce it, and I forgot. Hagerstown, Maryland?
And you forgot?
I totally forgot. And I'm going to get roasted.
You're going to get roasted and corrected by our knowledgeable viewers.
It's true. That's okay. I'll take the roasting. So this is a Beard Vintage R model. I ordered this back in, I want to say, very early 2009. And I ordered this from Elderly Instruments. I was looking for a resonator guitar that had a little bit of bark to it, had a little bit of kind of that old-timey sound. And the Vintage R model, it's a little bit slimmer. It's built with a birch laminate. And as you can tell, this thing has just been put through the ringer. And I haven't played it in a really long time. But it's not because I don't love it. It's just because I got a different Beard guitar, a Bell Beard, that I've shown on Acoustic Tuesday before. And that one's just kind of occupied a lot of my time lately. And this one, I thought, maybe I should sell it, move it to a new home. And I thought, no, I cannot sell this guitar. I'm too emotionally attached to this guitar. And I'm going to actually show you the reason why. So this guitar has spent a large a portion of my musical life with me. It's been on stage with a bunch of different artists and a lot of really cool musical opportunities that I'm actually going to share with you right now. And I think you'll see why I just can't bring myself to sell this instrument and why I think it's going to be a lasting part of my Guitar Signal. So without further ado, here's a little bit of a Beard Vintage R highlight reel and some of the cool musical situations that it's accompanied me in.
Rock and roll, see pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey, baby, I'll be here. Thank you.
I get excited seeing those videos again. And it's a highlight reel that I wanted to share with you to kind of make a point about that instrument. I mean, I think sometimes when you go to sell something, you got to look at that instrument and be like, wow, what is that instrument? You know, what have we done together? I know that sounds kind of weird and almost woo-woo, but that's what I think when I look at this instrument. I think, gosh, it's, you know, from playing on stage with John Mayer and Zach Brown, from playing on stage with Tony Furtado and that whole band. I mean, it was just made up of some of my heroes: Eli West, Sam Howard on bass, Jeffrey Foucault and Billy Conway on drums, Christy Hayes. I just can't let it go because it just brings back all of those memories. And I wanted to share that just to make that point of, you know, if you're ever thinking about selling something or even, you know, getting rid of something, just kind of think to yourself, man, what have this instrument and I, what have we been a part of? What magical stuff has happened? And I mean, even I think of times that instrument has just been around myself and friends just creating awesome music. And I'm like, I can't let it go. It's too magical. It's too magical. I just can't do it. So I wanted to share that with you all as a part of my guitar arsenal, but also as a little bit of a deeper lesson because, you know, these guitars that we have in our guitar arsenals, I think some people see them as just things or objects, but to me, they're some of the most emotionally charged things that you can really have. I mean, I don't think about my washer and dryer in an emotional way. Yeah, it cleans my clothes, but I don't really care about it. Not like I do my guitars. Is that a good parallel, Noah?
Yeah, you stumped me on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about even like thinking of your first car. You always remember the first car you had. Not because it was like an awesome car, but just because of the freedom it allowed you to have. Mine was a 1996 Ford Taurus with hail damage.
Mine was a 2002 1974 BMW.
That's cool. That's a cool first car.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my guitar of choice for the day. I do want to thank you for joining us on Acoustic Tuesday today, but we're not done. We've got to take a sneak peek in next week, and I have to reveal your Guitar Geek trivia answer. But just as a reminder, here was your question for the day. Which guitarist was chosen for the guitar playing close-ups in the movie August Rush? Was it A, Kaki King, B, Andy McKee, C, Muriel Anderson, or D, Preston Reed? Well, if you answered A, Kaki King, you're absolutely correct. In fact, Kaki King was featured on a previous Acoustic Tuesday episode, episode number 33. Except for dueling guitars, all of August's guitar pieces in the movie were played by American guitarist and composer Kaki King. King's hands are used in all of the close-ups for August Rush. King also scored music for television and film. She worked alongside Eddie Vedder and Michael Brook, contributing music for the soundtrack to Sean Penn's Into the Wild, for which the trio received nominations for a Golden Globe Award for Best Original Score. Pretty fascinating. I never knew that until I was doing research. And just to bring you up to speed on who Kaki King is, I had to share some of her music with you because she's an artist you absolutely need to know. A wonderful human being, an incredibly creative composer. So without further ado, here's a quick clip of Kaki along with the string quartet Ethel playing her song The Great Round Burn. I think it's time to put this party to rest.
Okay.
And I want to thank, was it Ray R. from Hawaii?
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
Ray R. really, he wrote in a wonderful metaphor for us to end the show. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the poetic musings of Ray R.
So he says, watching from Wahiawa, Hawaii, I really like the segment about strings. Another great show, fellas. And here is your next end of show metaphor. You've laid the egg. You've kept it warm. until it hatched. You fed it worms and watched it grow, then pushed it from the nest and watched it fly.
Damn, Ray, you know how to get a guy. Well, I want to thank Ray. I want to thank all of you guitar geeks for watching Acoustic Tuesday. I want to thank all of you guitar geeks for sharing Acoustic Tuesday and contributing to the comments. We certainly appreciate your time, and we are always humbled that you join here every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time to, well, just wave your guitar geek flag with us. It's pretty darn fun, and again, we appreciate it. Let's take a quick sneak peek into next week. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to feature a music podcast that will have you murder mystery fans in complete awe. I'll review a new guitar during the show, and you'll get a chance to listen to a moody fingerstyle artist. Now, I say moody. I don't say he's moody. I think he creates moods. Well, you're just going to have to tune in next week to find out. I'm running out of words and descriptors today. That's all I got. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv, where you can access all of the show notes, all of the links for anything I've ever talked about in Acoustic Tuesday. Again, we thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, guitar geeks unite. Cheers.